Amen. Thank you, Jim. Didn't he do a great job? How about giving him another hand? That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Good morning.
Morning.
I trust and pray all is going well. Listen, like I say before, give somebody one of those smiles. Give them a wave. Look around. A wave that says, not only am I glad that you know I'm here, but I'm glad that you're here. And you have chosen to be in the house of the Lord on Christmas Eve, the time when we celebrate His birth. What a glorious, glorious time to be able to take those opportunities to be able to come together as God's people. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello. I saw Dr. Cazito around here somewhere. There he is. You changed locations on me. You're not a real Baptist, John. I really, really appreciate him. He follows our online audience so that they know. If you're out there in viewer land, then you know that you've got a contact right here sitting in this sanctuary. If you ever have any questions or something needs answered, you need some spiritual help, be sure to let Dr. Cazito know. And be sure to give him a wave. I know y'all have emojis and everything else. He'll interact with you. I promise. He's good at that. But we love him. We appreciate you, Dr. J. I like that term, too. Dr. J. I call him Dr. John. So how about giving him a hand? You know, too many times we don't think about the people who work behind the scenes. There are those that are over near the building that make sure our broadcast goes out so that so many people can see it. There are so many moving parts and pieces behind the scenes, and we truly do appreciate each and every one. And again, we're glad that you're here today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our worship today. Father, as we come to you, we once again thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that as we have come into your house today, and Lord, even as we have had our hearts prepared to worship you, that we will pause everything that's going on for these moments. And Lord, we realize there are many, many things that are taking place today on this Christmas Eve. But help us, Father, to truly be here not only in body but also in spirit. Father, I pray that you will help us for these next few moments to just push aside anything that the world may usher in to try to distract us, that we might truly hear from you today through your word. Lord, as we lift up our voices to you and as we minister to you in song, may you minister to us as we are here today to truly celebrate the birth of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you give us the ability by which to do that today, and may each and everything that we say and each and everything that we do magnify you, Father, as we have gathered together. So bless our time and bless our worship as only you can, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry, we had a video in the thing. I guess we were through with our videos, so I didn't catch that. Good to see you all this morning. Please join me as we stand and sing Good Christian Men Rejoice, 96.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please turn with me to hymn number 93, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? And I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong.
You don't even need to hear me preach today. You're not going to hear me sing, though. I say you don't need to hear me preach today, but you're going to. So don't worry about that. I'm still trying to fathom how Mark, you ever got her to marry you. I'm. Lord have mercy. Hey, you got to laugh, don't you? Folks, if you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at some familiar passages. They come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 today. And, you know, I've often sat back and thought, what would it have been like to have been one of those who had that chance to gather at the manger? What would it have been like for all of the years that the folks had been living under the law, waiting for the long and anticipated Messiah, and then all of the sudden, it's time? Yeah, what would that have been like? What would it have been like to have been those who had that opportunity to gather around the manger? What would it have been like to have been one of the players in the Christmas story, as you think about it? So today I want you to take these moments to insert yourself into the Christmas story as we take a view of some of the faces that were around the manger, because they're very significant to each and every one of us today. Now, I love the fact that we get invitations. You probably have gotten some invitations through this particular Christmas season for whatever. Maybe it was an office business party, maybe it was whatever it may be, you've gotten this invitation. That means that you are cordially invited. I always like to say cordially invited, but it's cordially invited. You are cordially invited to attend something. In other words, somebody went to great lengths to make sure that you personally have been included to be a part of a significant event that was going to be a part of their life. We all have those invitations. Some of them we look at with great anticipation. Some of them you'll stick on the refrigerator or in the windowsill or wherever it is so you will remember that. You'll write it down in your calendar. Others you look at and you go, eh. Yeah. Some of them you know you're going to attend. Some of them, let's be honest with each other, you're going to attend if there's nothing else you have to do. You get what I'm saying on that. So there were invitations that go out to you. There are invitations that go out to each and every one of us. Some of those we accept with great anticipation. Some of them, you know, we pass up. Some of them we're happy we passed up. And some of them we regret later on that we passed up. You've been there before when somebody comes up to you and said, oh, man, you should have been there at that thing. And you're like, well, I was invited, I just didn't make it. But you hear about all the excitement that took place. And sometimes you even miss the fact that you didn't go because it wasn't exactly what you thought it was going to be. But yet, each and every one of us in this day and age are given an invitation. Today, we want to look at those invitations that were given to those at Bethlehem. Look with me, if you would, at the Christmas story that comes out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. It says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray together. Father, as we take these moments to come into your presence, I pray that your word would truly spring forth hope and life within each and every one of us. Lord, one of the greatest stories ever told today we cover in your word. But Lord, the reason why is because we're covering one of the greatest events that has ever been covered before, and that was the birth of our Savior. Father, today I pray that in the midst of all of the push and shove that is Christmas, we will truly pause to remember why we celebrate the Christmas season. Today, for these next few hours, Lord, I pray even in these next few moments that you would allow us to insert ourselves into the Christmas story, to live it. Lord, to have a different and fresh perspective on your incarnation, your coming to earth, that, Lord, we may be forever changed because we've been in the presence of your word today. So, Lord, I pray right now that you would use this, your messenger, for these moments. May you truly be lifted up.
May you draw all of your children unto you, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a moment ago I was talking about invitations, and there were invitations that went out to the birth of Christ. We've seen that. We saw that, you know, within our scriptures about those who the announcement of the birth came to. Now, I want you to think about those that were in attendance, as it were, to the to essentially the birth of Christ. And one of those were the heavenly beings. We think about what that must have been like. Heavenly beings were in attendance at the birth of Christ. Yeah, the Bethlehem experience had caught the attention of the angels of God. They knew what was going on. They knew what was taking place. And while angels have no problem, they rejoice over the incident at Bethlehem and what was taking place, and the fact that they were invited to be there and to be a part of it. It says in the word that the hillside was covered with angels, and the stable was crowded with heavenly beings. Now, I said a moment ago, I want you to insert yourself into that. Imagine what that looked like. Had you been one of those who arrived to have the privilege of seeing the newborn baby, could you imagine looking in a stable and seeing the angelic beings? They were present. They were visible to those who were there. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think at that particular point, I would have been going, something pretty special is going on here. Yeah, and just imagine the aura of what that must have been like. And do you realize it wasn't something that happened at the Ritz-Carlton? It wasn't something that took place in, the most sanitary conditions, as it were. I mean, he was in a stable. That's where there were animals. But could you have imagined what that must have felt like to have had that opportunity to be there in the presence of Jesus and to be there in the presence of those angels to experience Christ? Think about that for a moment. So we had heavenly beings that were in attendance. Remember we said too, in this particular passage, according to the Word of God, they made the announcements. Could you imagine what it would have been like to have been the shepherds that were out in the field just going through another day? Now, I've told you so many times that on the socioeconomic pecking list, shepherds were the lowest of low. Nobody said, man, I hope my kid grows up to be a shepherd. And in fact, it was probably one of those nights, much like we sing about Silent Night, Holy Night. Those shepherds were probably out there thinking, okay, we've come to the end of another day. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Lord, give me rest, you know, for the night. But yet, it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of hope for them. And then all of the sudden, the angels appear to them and make the birth announcement. Again, something that would probably freak me out. I don't know about you. But, I mean, could you imagine being in the stillness and the darkness? Now, like I said, I grew up in West Virginia, and it gets dark and it gets still at night. If you've ever been in one of those places where you can just be quiet and hear the silence, that's a place where I grew up. As long as the train's not coming by, you'll be able to hear the silence of what's taking place. And could you imagine cutting through that silence, those shepherds being able to see those angelic beings, and then being able to hear the words, "Fear not, don't be afraid." Would you be afraid? I mean, you're sitting out in a field, nothing like that's ever happened before, and all of a sudden the sky gets lit up with a bunch of angels who are rejoicing. Would you be afraid? Come on. I would. I mean, that would like really turn my crank. You know, I'd be probably looking for some place to go. But yet the angels were saying, look, don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. So don't be afraid. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to check him out. What was it that the shepherds said when they got done? They said, let us go and see. See, you realize what happened there? The angels were given an invitation. They were invited to be a part of what was taking place. So not only around the stable were there angelic beings, a lot of us, if we saw that, we would say, I'm not on that level. But yet, The announcement was made essentially to the lowest of low on the socioeconomic ladder. In fact, it was made to them first. When you look through the Bible, you will see that the shepherds actually made it to the stable when Jesus was a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The wise men didn't. Remember that? It was 2 years later. And they had to journey on the way. So listen, the lowest of low are invited to the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ. They're invited. So many people, I can't tell you how many times people have said, well, you know what, I'm not worthy to be a part of that. You know, I've over 30 years, I've heard all the excuses. Well, you know what, I don't dress like everybody else. Your dress doesn't determine your destination. Your heart does. A lot of people say, I'm not like everybody else. Well, let me tell you something right now. Whether you're here or whether you're online, every last one of you in this place, you're weird. And everybody that's watching, you're weird. We're all a bunch of weird people in our own way. And God made us exactly that way. And He calls and He invites each and every one of us to the stable. See, that's the cool part, is that we're not all the same. But here's the other part. We need to celebrate the fact that we're not all the same. That's what we need. That is what makes God's people so special. If everybody in this church were like me, this would be a music-less church. If everybody in this church were like me, it would be a choir-less church. If everybody in this church were in it like me, you wouldn't eat good homemade food at our get-togethers. You'd be eating a box of chicken from Lowe's if we even did that. But we're all different, but we're all special in our own way. And if you were the only person on the face of this planet, Jesus Christ still would have come and been born and wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, and some 33 years, if you were the only person on this earth, He still would have gone to Calvary's cross. He still would have resurrected just for you. Now, I don't know about you, but if you go through life and you sit back and say, well, I'm not special to anybody, you're wrong, because you are. Our Savior went to Calvary for you. He went to Calvary for me. And today we come together to worship Him. You look at the faces that were around the manger. I can picture what it was like. I got a weird imagination too. I told you, I'm one of them weird people. I could see the angels kind of floating in the air, praising the Lord around that stable. And then I see the shepherds walk in. And nobody said, oh, get these guys out of here, man. We don't want no shepherds around here. What are they doing here? By the way, let me pause for just a moment, because if you ever get that way with people, you are the problem. You need to check yourself. If you ever get to that point where you sit back and say, well, I just can't believe they wore that to church. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what you wear to church, wear something to church. Short of that, come to church. Be a part of the family. And for us that might be wearing a tuxedo, we need to receive those who show up in a pair of sweat breeches, because they're all special. They've all been invited, each and every one of us. Imagine the stable scene, the angels up there praising God, and here come them shepherds. And they came walking. You know, I believe that the angels probably looked at them and winked. Come on in. How do I know that? Because they got a personal invitation out in the field, didn't they? Might even been the one that showed up to them that said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And here's something else I loved about those shepherds. When the angel went away, the shepherds weren't just translated to the manger scene. They had to go there. It took something on their behalf. Notice, remember what the word says? They said, let us go and see this thing that we have just been told about. They left their flocks. They traveled to get there. How did they know where to go? Could have been the star. Could have been the GPS. Remember God's positioning system? Could have led them right to where they needed to be. All I know is this. They found it. They found the place. And they entered in. And they saw Mary and Joseph and Jesus in that place. Sometimes I wonder if Mary and Joseph weren't like, look, man, she just had a baby. Could y'all give us a little space? I mean, you can imagine that. No, they were all welcomed. So you've got the angels that are up there. You've got, let me just say it like this. You have plain people who have an invitation to come to Jesus. The invitation covered all the people from all walks of life. Lowly shepherds from the hill country accepted that invitation. They went to Bethlehem. Plain people were given the wonderful privilege, and they took advantage of it. The question is, do we take advantage of it? They had an exciting experience while they were there. Let me carry you over to verse 20 of our text and look at what it says. In verse 20 it says, then the shepherds returning, that means after they left the manger scene, returning, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. In other words, they had church. And when they went away, they were rejoicing. And when you're rejoicing and when you're excited about something, guess what the first thing we do is? We tell other people about it, don't we? You know, when something really exciting happens, you can't wait to tell somebody, right? You're like, oh, guess what happened today? Or guess what took place? You want to tell people what was going on. You can't help but share those joys that you have seen and those things that you have heard. See, most of us, I would say, are in the shepherd's class of people that are invited to meet Christ. And some of y'all are sitting back going, what are you saying? I'm one of the lowliest of low? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that there are people that we look at in our lives and we feel like they're untouchable, don't we? You feel like you can't get to them. You know, you might sit back and say, well, I'd like to see that person or I'd like to meet them, but that's not going to happen. There's too many people. There's guard, whatever it may be. Let me tell you something. You can meet Jesus because he's going to meet you right where you are. Isn't that the coolest thing? Isn't it wonderful? Have you ever had that situation where somebody would come up to tell you something? Or maybe you were conversing with somebody and somebody comes up and then or you come up to somebody and all of a sudden that person goes, hang on just a second. Can I help you, Roy? Hey, it's good to see you. You ever done that before? You ever had that happen to you? Now listen, a lot of times people get mad. I told you all before, particularly when it came to kids, if you and I are talking and a child comes up to tell me something, y'all are just going to have to wait for a minute because I want to hear what they have to say because they're important. And you understand where maybe they don't, okay? So, yeah, and some of y'all have experienced that before. You're talking about something and little kids, they're tugging on my pocket because they drew a picture for me during church. The really cool ones are the ones that drew a picture about what I was talking about in church. And they give me that picture. Let me tell you something. That picture is special to me. That picture goes up on the credenza in the office. And I will tell you, hold on a minute. I'll be right back with you. What can I help you with? How you doing? Can I have that hug or whatever it may be? It's important, is it not? Isn't that what you would like to feel when you come into the presence of the Savior? When he says, Cherie, I see you, girl. I'm going to give you a hug. Thank you for the little picture. Thank you for just being you. See, most of us kind of fall into that shepherd's classification of people that are invited. Are you getting the theme? The invitation to meet Jesus. The invitation to be a part of all that he has planned. So we see that around the manger, there were angelic beings. Are you picturing this with me? Probably floating around in there, singing beautifully. And then you got the shepherds that are there with their staffs. They're looking on it. And then later on, the class of the cream of the crop, the wise men showed up 2 years later. The shepherds could probably look at them and say, well, we saw that 2 years ago, dude. Y'all are behind. But they had to make a journey. They had to get there as well because they wanted to see what was going on. And yet, when they came into the house, according to the scriptures, they presented to the Savior the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were on a journey. They had to get there as well, but they wanted to meet Jesus, and something special about them was that nothing stopped them. Now, if I were to ask you and say, guys, look, listen, we're going to go on a journey. Now, it's going to take about 2 years to get there. Would you go? Would you leave? Some of us can't wait 15 minutes to get a hamburger at the drive-thru. Could you imagine it taking you 2 years to get to a destination? You see, they had to have a little tenacity about them. They had to have something that said, I have to get there. I've got to be there. I have to see Jesus. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is that what your journey is like today? Are you sitting there in your life saying, I have to get to see Jesus? Because guess what? He gave his life for you. He picked his life up through the resurrection, conquering death, hell, and fear. And he's saying to you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I am making a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also. He says, I've set a plate at the table, and it has your name on it. If you accept that invitation, I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I feel out of place sometimes, but I've been to some places before. Have you ever seen where they got the little tent cards that got your name on them? That means that's your place. It's reserved for you. Let me tell you something. At heaven's table, there is a place that's got a little card on it that says, Roy L. Carter, and it's just for me. It's set and it's ready. You know why it's set? Because I RSVP'd to the invitation. The invitation is that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, Lord, I believe. I'm a sinner. I know it. I deserve death and hell. But thanks be to your Son, Jesus Christ, that through the crucifixion and the resurrection, you have conquered death. Save my soul. And he took out his pen and he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he set me a place at the table and he has prepared a place for me. So my journey on this earth is to be heading that direction. It's been an interesting past week or so for me. As you know, my dad is going to celebrate Christmas with Jesus this year. That's what he preached about all of his life. That's what he stood in a pulpit and told people. That's everything that he did. He was living for over there. What are you and I living for? He's made it. He don't have to use a magnifying glass in the pulpit anymore. He sees better than I do. He doesn't have to worry about a heart issue anymore. His heart's perfectly fine. He don't have no aches or pains. He has seen Jesus face. I said to somebody, I said, my dad, after he saw Jesus, is probably over there talking to Paul and asking Paul if his thorn in the flesh was his vision. And I can see my dad going, I can feel for you, brother. I went through that over these past couple years. Hard to see. But he didn't quit because his destination was over there. He answered the invitation. He took up. He RSVP'd. So there were angels that were there. There were plain people, was the best way for me to say it. And then there were also those of royal lineage that were there, the wise men. But you know what I think about is that Jesus is for everyone. I think about how we take teams and we go overseas. I think about how I sit in worship services where I can't understand a word that they're saying, but I see their heart as they worship Jesus, and I see them give their hearts to Jesus, and they accept that invitation. I see people from all walks of life. I see the ones that live under the bridges come to Jesus. I see the ones that live in the finest of homes come to see Jesus. And folks, let me tell you, the ground around the cross is all level. And you know who we should be telling about Jesus? Everyone, regardless of class. I've shared with you all many times the story of Spider and how a church changed Spider's life. Spider's in heaven, and I'm still talking about Spider. The Greensboro tattoo artist that rode his Harley chopper to church one Sunday because he felt empty. He walked up with his jeans, his wallet chain that you could walk a dog on. Let me just say that a lot of people would be scared of Spider. Now, I was looking, I'm like, what's getting ready to happen here? But I didn't get a chance to greet Spider first because I remember I told you our little old lady, the oldest little old lady in that church, went up and grabbed him and hugged him and said, I am so glad that you were here today. He was shocked. And she said, is anybody with you? And he looked at her like she had three heads. He just rode up on a motorcycle. And she said, would you sit with me today? I watched her take him around and introduce her to all those other little old ladies, and they weren't all going. They grabbed him and hugged him. They made Spider feel special and welcome. And because of that, Sunday after Sunday, Spider came back until he gave his heart to Jesus. I told you before how excited. He had a tarantula tattooed on the side of his neck. Let's just put it that way. But I'll tell you one thing. You say something bad about Spider, you're going to have to whip a whole bunch of church ladies. Because they loved him, and he loved them back. And when he gave his heart to Jesus, there was never a greater celebration than those little old ladies. You would have thought that he just won the Super Bowl. And he was excited. Remember I told you he went out and shared Jesus with his cousin, brought his cousin to church. His cousin accepted Jesus. His cousin was the quadriplegic. And them little old ladies loved on him. And both of them said, I want to be baptized. And I was like, Spider's not a problem. Quadriplegic might be a little bit of a problem. He said, I want to be baptized. I said, okay, not a problem. I've shared that with y'all before. We set him up on the side of the baptistry and had one of our guys just kind of pinned him up against the wall so he wouldn't fall over until we baptized Spider. And then I told old Spider, I said, all right, Spider, stay right here. And we got on one side, I got on one side, he got on the other side. And said, have you trusted Jesus? He said, I have. And I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I looked at Spider and he looked at me and I went, and Spider did too. And all three of us went down in the water and came back up. Why do I say all this? Because I will promise you that how you treat people will change their lives. I don't care if they don't have a dime. And I don't care if they got a gajillion dollars in the bank. Treat them like Jesus would. Treat them as if the Savior died for them. And what were the results? What were the results be? What were the results then? What were the results of those that came and accepted the invitation to Bethlehem? Those who were involved in the first Christmas rejoiced. It says in verses 13 and 14 that the angel chorus sang. It says in verse 20 that the shepherds were blessed in their hearts. And in Matthew 2:10, it says that the wise men rejoiced all the way to Bethlehem. Today, those who go to Bethlehem in their hearts have a great experience. Just as the angels saw Jesus as heaven come to earth, so do we when we go to Bethlehem in our hearts. Just as the shepherds saw him as the Savior of all humankind, so do we. Just as the kings saw him as rulers of the universe, so do we. The shepherds and the kings accepted their invitation, and they had a wonderful experience. So I'm asking you today, will you accept the invitation of Jesus Christ? I'm passing them out. By the way, I'm just a delivery boy. Y'all know that, right? See, that's the fun part. You know, the Lord just put a whole stack of invitations in my hand. He said, just pass them out to everybody. Passing out invitations. Oh, but here's the thing. Today, you have received an invitation, but the question is, what will you do? Will you RSVP? Will you give your life to Jesus? Will you attend? I have a mansion just over the hilltop. Do you? Listen, it's not about being in church. It's not about being a religious person. And I cannot believe how confused so many people are today when it comes down to what being a Christian is all about. And I ask them, in your opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? Well, I'm going to be a good person. No, wrong answer. Try again. Well, I'm nice and kind, but I go to church. Well, wrong answer. Try again. Well, I'm spiritual. Usually I'll say, what does that mean? Well, I'm a religious person. Well, yeah, so are satanic cults. There's a difference between religious and Christian. In your personal opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? Listen, that's a real question. If you can answer that question by saying that I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected, and he's coming again. And I believe that through the resurrection, he conquered sin, death, and hell. And because I accept his invitation, his blood washes me white as snow. Remember that hymn? Whiter than snow. And every sin, past, present, and future, he's taking care of. Do you believe that? Listen, I don't care. I say this and it shocks people. I said, I believe hell's going to be full of church people. I believe hell's going to be full of deacons and Sunday school teachers. And I believe hell's going to be full of preachers. Ooh, I'm getting serious now, preacher. Yeah, you know why? Because even if you looked at it through the Bible, there were people who did things for all the wrong reasons. Look at the Pharisees. They did things for personal and financial gain. For them, the words that they preached, I believe people got saved by them, because the Lord can even use things that are ungodly to bring about his will. I knew a preacher one time that had led a bunch of people to Jesus, and then he himself got saved later on in life. Do I believe that those who accepted Christ under his preaching and teaching and witnessing were valid? Oh, yeah. I saw proof of it. Because even the Lord's word will not return void. Have you accepted the invitation? And some people go, well, I haven't been invited. Yes, you are. I am standing up today and telling you, you are cordially invited to the kingdom. I am a messenger from the Most High. Some of y'all are going, they ain't real picky, are they? The Lord sent me today to invite you to be a part of the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever. You are cordially invited. Here is your invitation. Now what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to go, eh? You're just going to stick it around? Are you just going to think, maybe if nothing else comes up, I'm going to... No, it doesn't work that way with this one. You either accept it or you reject it. Today is your day. You know what? Today could be the best Christmas season that you ever had in your life, because your life will have purpose in Christ. Have you trusted him? Have you said in your life, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and I'm giving my life to you? You're invited to be around the manger. See? The angelic beings. Now you know how simple-minded I am. A simple nativity scene gives me a Sunday sermon. There's the angels. We got common people down here. We got animals. There's the shepherd. Now, fast forward 2 years, there's the wise men. They didn't actually make it here. We put a little house over there, but you can't really do that. So, but y'all understand what I'm saying, right? They made that journey. They said yes. Will you say yes? Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to have our time of invitation. You've seen it's written in your bulletin. You see it every week. Been passing out invitations every week. The question is, have you received his invitation? Oh, you've been offered. You've got it in your heart. You've got it in your hand. What will you say? Yes, Lord. Or will you say, nah, I'm too busy. Got too many things I got to do. I'll do that when I get older. I'll do that later. Well, older and later may not ever come for you. The Lord can call you just like that. Are you ready? I am. I'm ready. I done punched my ticket. I done cashed it in. I've RSVP'd. I've even got it on my cell phone. So, yep, here I am. You know what they're going to say? They're not, you don't need that. We already know who you are. Oh, remember, because the Word says that the Lord knows his children by name. You don't have to show up with the invitation. You just have to accept it. He's got a book. Have you trusted him? I'm not asking if you've been religious. I'm not asking if you've been a church person. I'm not asking what positions you've held. I am asking you if you've trusted Jesus right here. See, if you have, then the outward, the Holy Spirit helps us to live for him. That's what we can't do it by ourselves. But the Holy Spirit helps us live for him. You know what else? We mess up daily, don't we? But he forgives us. He picks us up and says, let's try it again. Let's try it again. Let's do better. Let's do better. And before long, you actually make, it's like riding a bicycle. How many of y'all ever crashed on a bicycle? Them's my people. You probably still have some scars to prove it, don't you? You kind of wobbly and all that stuff. And then before long, you could jump on that thing and you had it mastered. You'd be laying it over in the corners and you had it going on. But you weren't there to start with. You grow in God's grace. He teaches you. You mature. He carries you through the tough times. Have you trusted my Jesus? You got an invitation today. Will you accept that invitation? Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean necessarily coming down here and talking to me. It's a good way to get started. I'd love to pray with you. But wherever you are right now, if you feel in your heart that conviction, that's not rubbing off from the person beside you. That's to you. God's got great aim. If you're part of our online, if you're driving down the road, whatever the Lord has said to you in the midst of this season, you need to deal with it. And you need to deal with it right now. I've often said, I love what Rodney said to me many years ago. He said, pray with me right here because I don't know if I'll make it home. Wasn't like there was any problem, but he's like, no, I'm making sure this is right here in the lobby of this theater. I am trusting Jesus because I may not make it outside to the parking lot. That's the right heart. That's the right spirit. So right now, would you, with all the honesty in your heart, be able to say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I confess that. I believe in what Jesus accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, I am crying out to you. Save me. Then help me, Lord, to live for for you. And I'm asking this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me make you a promise that if you did that and you meant it with all of your heart, you just RSVP'd. Your name's being written in the book of life. There's a plate being set at the table for you, and there's a mansion being built just for you. We're going to see people again. Your mama going to fix my hair again. I'm going to see my dad again. I'm going to see my best friend again. See, we should be kind of sitting back going, golly, Pete, they're going to have a really good Christmas. They get to see it in person. But until then, we journey forward. Listen, whatever the situation may be, maybe you've just been walking wayward. It's time to draw a line in the sand. It's time to say, you know what? I need to live what I believe, and I really don't care what people think. Like I said, as we get older, we can do that, can't we? We just don't care as much about what people think about us at that point. But let's just have a little bit of holy I don't care and say, you know what? I'm going to live for Jesus the way I need to. You're getting ready to start a new year. That will be the best New Year's resolution that you could ever make, and don't go back on it. Say, Lord, 24 is going to be a good year. 23 has been hard. But 24 is coming by His grace. It's going to be the best year. He's going to be the best because He's going to be first. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, here's the greatest prayer there ever is. Lord, I'm a mess. Help me. And He will. Listen, if you need this old altar, we still do an old altar call. It's here. If you need me, I'm up here. Would you stand with me? You do business with God as together we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 325, Whiter Than Snow, as Brad leads us. This moment slip by you. You act on it right now. Don't leave this place the same way you came in. All of us can leave changed because we have been exposed to His Word. What is it that you need to do? As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask that our ushers take their place as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Father, we thank You again for the provision that You give each and every one of us and the way that You have sustained us through yet another year. Father, we pray that as we take this time to worship You in giving back to You that which You have so richly blessed us with, we pray, Father, that You will bless the gift and the giver as well. Lord, You give us some incredible things in Your Word where You say, try me and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing when we're faithful in our giving. So, Father, right now I pray that we will put You to that test as we ask it in Jesus' name. just give you a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here and off with your day. Birthday's coming up this week. Thursday, Nancy Young is having a birthday. Where's Kelly? I saw Kelly out there. He's just head out. Nancy, we ain't worried about Kelly anyway. That's Nancy. Her birthday's coming up on this coming Thursday. And then also on Saturday, Erica Twitty will be having a birthday. Be sure to throw your arms around them and give them a big old sloppy hug. And, defy all the odds with all the germs these days. But at any rate, give them a happy birthday. And then also anniversaries this coming week, Tuesday, Jeff and Joy Pickard will be celebrating an anniversary, another year together. And Jeff, keep praying. She stayed with you for so long. You just keep on praying, brother. That's all I can say. But be sure to wish Jeff and Joy a happy anniversary as well. I don't know if the men's crew is going to meet on Wednesday, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that every Wednesday, the men's group meets over at the Olympic in Colfax. There's no agenda. It's just eat and fellowship and have a good time. So that's every Wednesday normally. As far as regular activities, we don't have regular activities tonight. We will be having our Christmas Eve communion. You pick one, either 6 o'clock or 6:30. Once again, it's like I've said before, you're not going to hear me re-preach or anything like that. It is a time that we pause on Christmas Eve to remember why we celebrate the season. It'll take you about 10 minutes. You come by in the midst of the push and shove, and we have communion together, and I'll get you right back outside the door. If you have family from out of town, bring them. You know, and don't accept the excuse, well, I didn't bring anything to wear. You heard me say before, and I'll say it again. If there's clothes on their back, bring them. That's plenty good. Just come on down. 6 o'clock, it'll probably be over by 6:10, 6:15, and then the 6:30 will probably be over by 6:40 or 6:45, something like that. That just gives you, that's all I'm asking. And that's for us to say, Lord, I am stopping during this push and shove season to remember why we truly celebrate the Christmas season. So the office, church office, will be closed on Monday and Tuesday. So if you need anything, you can call us directly. We may not answer you, but you can still call us directly. But we'll do the best we can with that. But at any rate, I just want to tell you all, and I want to say a very special thank you. Oh, by the way, keep David in your prayers. He does not have COVID, from what I've understood. I think it was a virus-type thing. It's not COVID, but anyway, keep praying for David and Donna. That's the reason you don't see David here today. He thought that it was COVID. His home test said it was. His doctor's test said it wasn't. So he figured he wouldn't share that love with you as a Christmas present, which we're grateful for. So, but do keep praying for him. But in closing, I want to say on behalf of my family how much I thank you for your prayers, your cards, your calls, your text messages, your instant messages, the flowers, everything that you did, including folks that even traveled and came up to my dad's funeral. That's three hours away minimum, depending on where you are, and 3 hours back in a snowstorm. So I want to thank you. You guys have meant so much to us. My mother is actually here today. That's my mom. Wave, Mom, so everybody will know who you are, because a lot of people don't. That's the one that you can ask her, you know, what she was doing while she was pregnant with me, so that I'm the person I am. Anyway, beside her, that's my mother-in-law. That's Jana's mom beside her. That's my niece, Jordan, right there, and my sister that I can't even see. You're short. There we go. That's my sister. So they're here today to worship with us. We covet your prayers. We could not ask for anything more. You all have loved on us in a tremendous way through a tough, tough time. And the tough time's not over. They're coming. But for each and every one of you, I want you to know how much you meant to us during this time in my dad's home going. I love him. There are going to be tough days. I just thought about the fact that today he would normally be preaching. Well, he's preaching all right. He's preaching up there. And I get to see him again. I know that. But thank you so much for your love and attention and for being a church. Kelly, for stepping up, doing my part in the cantata. That means a lot to preachers. My dad's thing was, for Lord's sake, don't let anything happen to the church back home. Preachers are, I say we're goofy, we're weird. Thank you for stepping up. Thank you, choir. You guys did, I watched you, by the way. I was hiding in the online stuff, so I saw it. Thank you for all you do. I just want you to know how much I love you and I care about you and appreciate every last one of you for everything. Keep us in your prayers. The days aren't, they're not easy. But I said when I did my dad's funeral, I said, I have to practice what I preach. He's better off than I am. He's in the place he preached about. I hold on to those things, and I sit back and say, I'll see you again, Pop, but it still hurts. It's one of those things that hurts. The Lord didn't say we don't sorrow. He said we just don't sorrow as those who have no hope. So I want to thank you for being Central Baptist Church, the hands, the feet, and the voice of the Savior in this pastor and his family's life during a difficult, difficult time. I love you. Now, you've been sitting long enough. It's Christmas Eve. You're ready to go eat. And if I don't hurry up, the Methodist will beat you to all of the good eating places. Would you stand with me as we dismiss in a word of prayer? And I'm gonna do something a little different. David usually does that. But Roger, hey, Roger, could you make your way up here for just a minute? Roger has been a part of this church for many, many years. He's been a part of everything major that's happened, and I love him. He's the guy who years ago could come into my office and tell me I needed to go home when I needed to go home, and I needed to spend more time with family and friends, but I love him and I appreciate him. I'm going to ask Roger if he would to see us off in a word of prayer, and I'll see you guys at the door. Thank you, Roger.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today. This has been a message that's drawn, or should have drawn, each of us closer than what we ever were. And Father, as we come to you today, we just ask you to just go with us now. This is a time of year, Lord, when we are celebrating. At this time, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us and be with each family here, that you might have the best Christmas that you've had in your lifetime. Father, thank you again. We hold our pastor up to you today, Lord, and his family, knowing that there has been one member gone. But Lord, I just want to say today that he's in a better place. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for what you do for us. And thank you for everything that we can do for you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.